wrestle not against flesh and blood. Victory is the goal for every battle. Get set for an empowerment to conquer in the battles of life as you listen to Encounter with the Truth by Pastor Sammy.
This month, we are sailing on the prophetic theme, A Taste of Wisdom for My Explosion. The Taste of Wisdom for My Explosion. And on the Sundays, we are talking about divine wisdom is available. Divine wisdom is available. Divine wisdom is available. One of the things we need to acknowledge is that everything on earth is founded by God. God is the founder of everything we see. He began everything. The heavens and the earth are the works of His hand. The sea, the land are the works of His hand. The things that eyes can see are the works of His hand. The things that eyes cannot see are the works of His hand. The seen and the unseen, He is the founder of everything. Praise the Lord. So when we are talking about the greatest general overseer, God is the general overseer of the universe. He founded everything. Praise the Lord. The word of God shows us in many facets that He founded them by His hand, by His power, and by His grace. Praise the Lord. And one unique thing about founding by God is that everything He founded, He founded it on the platform of wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 3 verse 19, it said, by wisdom the Lord founded the earth. He founded it. In Proverbs 24, the verse number 3, He also said the same thing. By wisdom He founded the universe, everything. So God the founder founded things by wisdom. Praise the Lord. So everything begins, both the seen and the unseen, by wisdom. Wisdom is what begins things in the seen and the unseen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So where wisdom is absent, things cannot begin. The source of creation, the wisdom of God. Psalm 104 verse 24. How manifold are thy works, in wisdom thou hast made them all. So the source of creation is wisdom. It's wisdom. So anything you want to begin, what you need is not money. What you need is not connection. What you need is not people. What you need is wisdom. Because it is the source of everything. How manifold are thy works? Any work of God can begin by wisdom. Any activity in the seen and the unseen can start on the platform of wisdom. Somebody is blessed. Somebody is blessed. God, the founder of the entire universe, began His founding on the platform of wisdom. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, when something is lost, what you used to find is wisdom. When something is missing, what you used to locate it is wisdom. Praise the Lord. When something is not there, what you use to bring it there is wisdom. You know, we have been wasting our time looking for men, looking for things, looking for connection, looking for money. But actually, what begins things is not those things. What begins things is wisdom. Praise the Lord. Somebody is blessed. This morning, be imparted with the spirit of wisdom in the name of Jesus Christ. As the word of God is coming, Ezekiel said, and the spirit entered into me. As the word of wisdom is coming, let the spirit of wisdom enter you in the name of Jesus Christ. What begins a marriage is not beauty, it's not money, it's not your it is your wisdom. What begins business is your wisdom. What begins a ministry is wisdom. Praise the Lord. Now, the good news is that this wisdom is available and accessible to every man that connects himself to God. It's available and accessible to every believer at redemption. Bear it in mind, we are talking about God's wisdom is available. This is part 1A. It's available and accessible to every child of God at redemption. Why am I saying that? Because the word of God tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23 and 24. He said, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. So at redemption, Jesus Christ becomes unto you the power of God and the wisdom of God. And why the power of God and the wisdom of God? You need wisdom to begin things and to keep it and to move it forward. And you need power to sustain it. You know, they shut up, devil. Don't come here. Go away. Power is what you used to say, go away. You use power. So you need wisdom create the thing. Power drives human enemies and devil enemies away. Praise the Lord. So at redemption, Christ becomes to you the wisdom and the power of God. May this morning, as the word of wisdom is coming to you, the spirit of wisdom to make your life very creative, receive it now in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive it now in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive it now in the name of Jesus Christ. This wisdom we are talking about cannot be found in the space of the universe. It's not here. It's not in heaven, neither on earth. James tells us that there are categories of wisdom in James chapter 3. Verse 14 and 15. He said, but if we have bitter envy and strife in our hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descended not from above. This wisdom descended not from above. So there is a certain kind of wisdom that descends from above. But besides the wisdom that descends from above, there are other wisdom. There he continued. He continued by saying that, but it's earthly. So there is a wisdom which is earthly. We have earthly wisdom. And then he continued by saying that it's sensual. Somebody say sensual. Yes, that is intellectual. It only makes sense to the head. Sensual means intellectual wisdom. That's the one we go to school to learn. Go to school to you get some knowledge, and when you're able to apply it, it becomes wisdom to you. If you don't apply it, then it become foolishness. Praise the Lord. Are you here with me? Some knowledge we get in school, if you're able to apply, it become, if you don't apply, it become foolishness. Many people use knowledge they gain from school to act foolishness. Yeah. If you apply school knowledge very well, it becomes wisdom. If you don't apply it, it becomes what? Foolishness. Praise the Lord. But look, this wisdom is not from above. So he tells us there's a wisdom from above. Then he said, but. Someone say, but. Then he say, earthly. So there's a wisdom which is called earthly wisdom. There's another wisdom called sensual wisdom. And there is the last one which is called devilish, demonic wisdom. Praise the Lord. We'll be handling these things at the Word Encounter services. So make sure you are available there. Praise the Lord. What is sensual wisdom? What is devilish wisdom? What is earthly wisdom? What is divine wisdom? But this wisdom we are talking about here, that makes you found and created, which God used, is the wisdom we call earthly, heavenly wisdom. The wisdom which is from above, which is called divine wisdom. Somebody say divine wisdom. Shout it, divine wisdom. Shout it, divine wisdom. May that wisdom come to you now in the name of Jesus Christ. May that wisdom come to you now in the name of Jesus Christ. The good news is that divine wisdom is also available to everyone. Everybody. Everybody in Christ. In James chapter 1 verse 5. God himself categorically spoke through James. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask of what? And then he said, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So when you lack that wisdom, he says, ask of God and it shall be given you. So there is a wisdom called divine wisdom that every believer can ask of God and God will give. This morning, as you are in this impartation service, may that wisdom begin to come on you in the name of Jesus Christ. As you desire and you ask this morning, may you receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. What is this divine wisdom? What is this divine wisdom? What is this divine wisdom? In Matthew 7, 24, 25, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. You know, this wisdom, we are saying that it found things. It was founded. It found things. It found things. So, what is this wisdom? It is the right application of words, or a word received from the mouth of the Lord, either through scriptures or through the voice of the Spirit. It is the right application of words, or a word received from the mouth of the Lord, either through reading the scriptures or the voice of the Spirit coming to you. Right application of any word you receive from God. Right application. Either through scriptures or through the voice of the Spirit that came to you, either through the inward witness or the audible voice of God. Yeah. So anytime a word or words come from the mouth of the Lord and you are able to receive it and you apply it, It becomes wisdom.
It becomes what?
Wisdom. And that wisdom begins to found things for you. Begin things that are missing, it finds it. Things that are lost, it brings it there. Things that are not there, it creates for you. It creates. So anytime you want to find things, what you are looking for is the wisdom way. The wisdom way. I'll be talking about it next week. The wisdom way. There is a wisdom path. A wisdom path. A wisdom path to everything. When you find that path, you begin to locate. You begin to get lost things. It comes back. It comes back. Because the wisdom of God is nothing but the right application of a word or words from the mouth of the Lord. Receive. You have to receive it first. Either through scriptures, because scriptures is a covenant book. You can find your vision in scriptures. You don't need to see any vision. The Bible is a book of visions. It shows you that you are king. You have to see your kingship thing from the Bible and begin to behave as a king and become it. It shows you that you are blessed. You need to see how blessed you are. Behave. It's a book of visions. Covenant visions. Some of us are praying, Lord, open my eyes to see. Open my. The vision you need to see is your Bible. It's your heart. Spend time with the Bible. It's a vision book. It's a vision book. It's what? Spend time with your Bible. It's a vision book. It shows you who you are. Praise the Lord. Yeah. I say it is what? A vision book. It gives you a picture of who you are. It gives you a picture. Praise the Lord. Are you here with me? So wisdom is the right application. Rightly applying. Right application of a word or words received from the mouth of the Lord. And you get either through scriptures or through the voice of the Spirit. Somebody is blessed. Somebody is blessed. Somebody is blessed. Somebody is blessed. How do we assess this wisdom? The wisdom of God begins with a man by connecting to Jesus. Christ has become unto us the wisdom of God. So to assess wisdom, you need to be born again. That is the underlying factor. Divine wisdom cannot be assessed without not being saved. I'm telling you, there is no unsaved person. There is no man who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ who is walking with divine wisdom. That is what the Bible teaches. So anybody you hear in this world, wherever he is, you think that, oh, this guy is wise. If he doesn't know Jesus, the kind of wisdom he's operating in is not the wisdom of God. It can be the other three. It can be earthly, which can't make you anything. It can be sensual or demonic. Earthly wisdom can make you great. It is called common sense. It's common to everybody. And it makes common life out of common men. And you live a common life and die commonly. Praise the Lord. Are you here with me? So earthly wisdom, it can't make any man. But any man you have heard, you have read, you know that is making any way. If he doesn't know Jesus, it is not divine wisdom we are talking about. Because divine wisdom begins with an encounter, not with God, with Jesus Christ. Christ is, you know, many people believe in God, but many people doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. But Christ is the wisdom of God, Christ. So to begin wisdom, you need to encounter Jesus Christ. And the way to encounter him is to receive him, to ask him to come. He came to his own. His own did not receive him. Throughout generations, many people doesn't want to receive Jesus. But the good news is that there are many who want to receive him. He said, as many, somebody say, as many as receive him. So always there will be more many. It doesn't matter what the devil does. Always there will be what? Many that will receive him. Praise the Lord. Very soon there will be many in Europe that is receiving Jesus. Very soon there will be many in Asia receiving Jesus. Very soon there will be many in America receiving who? Jesus. Many. Because as many as receive him, always there will be many. There will be many. Praise the Lord. So what you have to do is to make yourself as one of the many that is ready to receive him. So it begins with new birth, which we also call salvation, which we also call giving your life to Christ. How do you do that? You receive him by confessing Jesus as Lord, Savior of your life. Praise the Lord. Now, after salvation or new birth, the next way to walk, to access divine wisdom, is by walking in the fear of God. The fear of God begins a man's walk in the way, in the path of wisdom. When you receive Jesus, now you have the ability for the door of wisdom to open to you. Hear it well. Salvation gives you access to the door of wisdom. But what begins the journey in wisdom is the fear of God. It's what? It's what? It's what? The fear of God. In Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning. Is the beginning. Is the beginning. So you need to know that what will begin the thing is the fear of. If you don't begin, you can't end. There is no journey. If you don't begin, you will end. So that is why the fear of God is very vital in the school of wisdom. Because it is what begins the thing. When it is not there, you can't begin a walk in wisdom. In Psalm 111 verse 10, the same thing is there. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all them that have his commandment. Pray his praise endures forever. So what begins wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Amen and brethren, the generation we are living in, the fear of God is something that is missing among believers. That is why many people are not seeing the manifestation of wisdom. When wisdom is working, we will be hearing it. It has products. It has proofs it shows. It has something it shows that this man or this woman is walking in wisdom. Praise the Lord. Somebody is blessed. So the fear of God, the fear of God, the fear of God. Anything God talks about, he has defined it in scriptures. So one way God has defined fear of God in the Bible is in Proverbs chapter 16 verse 10, 16 verse 6, sorry, Proverbs 16 verse 6. God's word has defined what wisdom is. The fear of God, sorry, the fear of God is. What is it? It says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is spared. And by the fear of God, what is that fear of God? Men depart from evil. By the fear of God, men depart from evil. By the fear of God, men depart from evil. So when you say a man fears God, the fear of God is to depart from everything which is sinful. To you depart from sinful things. By the fear of God, a man departs from evil. By the fear of God, a man departs. So what is the fear of God? God's word has defined what the fear of God is. Don't let any man define it any way to you. By the fear of God, men depart from evil. You can't tell me somebody is in evil and say he's fear God. The Bible says, by the fear of God, men depart. So to begin wisdom, you need to have a stand against sin. A stand against what? A stand against what? A stand against what? By the fear of God, men depart from evil. A scriptural example, a man who exploded in divine wisdom, whose life saved an entire generation. His name is called Joseph. And now when Joseph was talking to his brothers, when they came in Genesis 42 verse 18, and Joseph said unto them the third day, these two and live, for I fear God. Someone say, I fear God. These two, my brothers, and you will live. For I, Joseph, I fear God. One of the ways we saw him demonstrating the fear of God, men, as the Bible has defined it, by the fear of God, men depart from evil. One of the ways we saw Joseph demonstrating the fear of God is in Genesis 39, verse 7 to 9. We all know that story. When Potiphar's wife was enticing Joseph, look at what he said. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither has he kept anything back from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? By the fear of God, men depart from evil. How can I do such great wickedness and sin against God? How can I do such great wickedness? So the fear of God is to depart from evil. Depart. Depart. Anything evil. In the Joseph experience, it was to fornicate with his master's, commit adultery with the master's wife. You say, how can I do such wickedness against God? For your own, it may not be that. You are not doing that, but you are stealing. How can I do such wickedness against my God? You may not be stealing, but lying. How can I do such wickedness against who? My God. You may not be lying, but you are in malice with people. How can I do such wickedness against my God? So by the fear of God, men depart from evil. Men depart. Church, we have to allow, look, this commission, I've always been saying it, we have two core mandates. To make your life better through the preaching and teaching of the word of truth. And number one, to go to heaven. It will take fear of God to enter heaven. If you don't depart from sin, you will not enter there. You will not enter there. It doesn't matter your title, your name. Praise the Lord. By the fear of God, how can I do such thing? You know, people are so... people have entered to the point that they can be still in the church. Still. Still.
still. Praise the Lord. Yeah.
They lie in the church, lying on the altar. We even fake miracles in the church. Praise the Lord. Faking it. Pastors know, leaders know, it's a fake miracle. And we are faking it. I have the fear of God. No fear of God in our days. In our days. That is why there's a lot of foolishness in the church. You don't see men who, by virtue of their works, what wisdom is this that says mighty works, mighty words are wrought by his hand? Round. That's why you don't see that. A lot of believers are struggling. We shouldn't be. Kings are walking. And servants are riding horses. Because the kings who are to walk in wisdom, they have contaminated the beginning with little sins. Little heart. How can I do such wickedness? You can't begin in the school of wisdom if you don't fear God. You can't trust two believers working together again to marry. You can't trust them. You can't trust them. They'll be fornicating and they'll come to the altar that bless us. You can't trust. There's no fear of God again in the church. But people, God is calling us. God is calling. Because the kind of realm God is bringing the church to, I saw it today. My papa was, look, from June going on, there's a certain wave coming into the church. A strong wave of God. But it will take men who sat already, who are walking in the fear of God. Praise the Lord. Are you here with me? You can't trust a pastor anymore. You can't trust a church member. You can't trust anyone. Praise the Lord. Are you here with me? Because the love for sin has contaminated our potential to walk in the divine wisdom of God. You can't begin the school of wisdom if you don't fear God. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning. Praise the Lord. Anything you don't begin, you can't end it. Praise the Lord. So, what should be your stand? Romans 6:23 tells us the wages of sin is death. Walk with the understanding that sin destroys or kills things in a man's life. Anytime you are committing anything sinful, tell yourself something is dying in me. Something is dying in me. Something is dying. Something is dying. Something is what? My destiny is dying. A part of my body, maybe my liver is dying, or my kidney is dying, my heart is dying, my mind is dying. Anytime you are committing acts of, walk with that mindset that something is dying in me. Because the wages of sin is death. Sin always have wages. It kills something. I tell you, if Joseph had done what Potiphar's wife wanted him to do, he would have killed his destiny. We wouldn't have been talking about him now. Many people have wasted their life by virtue of one act of sin. It may be a malice. It may be a lie. How many lies did Ananias and Sapphira tell to die? They told one. They died. Anytime you are sinning, something is dying. Something is what? Dying. You may be alive. You think you are, but something is dying inside.
Something is dying. Walk with that mind. Something is what? Dying. Because God, you know, this end time, the way God wants to work with his people, but these are the things that God is ready to excel the church, believers with so much depth of wisdom for great and mighty works. And little sins, it can make you even begin in the school of wisdom. You can begin.
Somebody is blessed. Somebody is blessed. Now, another thing that grant us access to the wisdom of God is what we call the love for God or a heart for God. The love for God or a heart for God. In the life of David, in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be a captain over his people. Because thou hast not kept that which the Lord told thee. Thou hast not kept it." God has found for himself a man after his own heart. A man after his own heart. One of the keys to enter access to the wisdom of God is a heart for God. And somebody, God used that phrase to describe him is called David. "I have found a man after my own heart." Praise the Lord. And he says, "A man after my own heart, I will make him captain." I'll make him what? Captain. Captain. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 and 10. "According as it is written, eyes have not seen, neither ears heard, neither have it entered the heart of any man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him." Men who have a heart for God. Men who love God. Who have a heart for God. Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. They will enter into levels of wisdom and understanding that eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. It having entered into the heart of anyone. So the love for God. Somebody say love for God. The love for God is not a gift. It is a choice a man makes in his walk with Jesus. It's a choice a man makes. That I make a choice to love the Lord all the days of my life. I make a choice. Every believer can make that choice. There is what we call the love of God. That one is the God part to make a man to be able to love him. And the man part is the love for God. So there is the love of God. That one is said by the Holy Ghost in Galatians 5:6. "Hope maketh not a sin, for the love of God is set abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost." So there is the love of God. The love of God. For God so loved the world. That is the love of God. But what will change you? The love of God is for everybody. What will change you is your personal choice to love God. That is called the love for. Somebody say for. For. So there are two aspects of the love. The love of God is the God part. The love for God is the man part. What will change a believer is not the love of God. The love of God is for everybody. What will change you is your response to that love, which is called the love for God. And that is you that choose, that make that choice. That I choose you, Jesus. I connect to your love. And now I decide to love you by your love helping me to love you. Praise the Lord. Are you here with me? This love for God have this as its hold. I'm just talking about two of them. The first one, a heart for God begins with a lifestyle in doing whatever God tells you to do with delight and promptness. If you say you are choosing God to love Him, it goes with this. You must have a lifestyle. A lifestyle. In doing whatever God tells you to do with delight and promptness. So I've chosen to love God. What manifested as my lifestyle in doing whatever God tells me to do with delight and promptness. Abraham, God calls him my friend. Abraham, my friend. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to verse 4. Interesting. The Lord has said to Abraham, leave your country, leave your kindred, leave your father's house, and go to the place that I, the Lord, will show thee. And I will bless you, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I'll bless him, I'll bless them that blesses you, and I'll curse him that curses thee. And in this are all the families of the earth be blessed. Verse 4. And Abraham departed. And Abraham heard. That is the number one key to a love for God. A lifestyle that is committed in doing whatever God tells you with delight and promptness. And promptness. Genesis 22, verse 1. The Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, take your son, your only son Isaac, and go to a land that I will show you. Are you getting it? And then, verse 3, the Bible said, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. What was he going? Where were they going? He was going to sacrifice his son. A lifestyle that is committed in doing whatever God tells you with delight and promptness. And I'm telling you, that one requires a lot of sacrifice and discipline. That is why it is love for God. Because most of the things God tells you, it doesn't make sense. Praise the Lord. And if you see it with your own smallness of mind and heart, it will look like it is difficult. But the good news is that it's not difficult. His commandments are not difficult to do. But the devil will make you see it as it's very, very hard. Difficult. Somebody is blessed. Number two, a man with a heart for God, I end with this. A man with a heart for God have a lifestyle of also giving towards God and His work. That's a lifestyle of giving towards God and His work. David, a man with a heart for God have a lifestyle of giving towards God and His work. In 1 Chronicles 29, verse 3, he said, moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house
of my God over and above all that are prepared for the holy place. Huh? Because of my love for God and for his house, I have from my own coffers, my own resource, given to God for his work over and above. Somebody say over and above.
Yes.
Over and above. Over and above. A man who have chosen to love God, he places his resources for God and his work. Yeah. When it comes to giving towards the work of God, it's not a struggle. My father says, if you are struggling to pay tithe, you are far away from prosperity. You are far. Your journey is too long. You are struggling to give what God goes on to him. And you are far from prosperity. You are very far. You and prosperity, God's way. You can prosper through man's way, through other, but God's way, you are very, very far. You are very, very sad. Bishop Wade, and that is Rafa. Because a man who loves God, your resources are for his kingdom. Above his kingdom. Are you good? Because the reason you are fine is that the tithe is not yours, the tithe is his. What is left is what is yours, that you have to decide to give some to God. So if even the one that is his, you are struggling to give, then you are very far. Very, very far from kingdom prosperity. Are you hearing me? Yeah. And these things we are talking, it works. It's not gimmicks. It's not, it works. It works. Somebody say it works. It works. It is the truth, so it works. Praise the Lord. Are you here with me? So if you love God, express it by your giving to God. Your giving. Your giving. Your giving. Your giving. You give towards God's work. You give towards expansion of his kingdom. You give towards the building of his house. You give towards the poor in the church. You give. I was telling the leaders, I said, some of us should take for the buses we bring to church. Some of us should say, I will pay it. I have told them I'll pay for one place. I always pay. You to take some, look for something and do for God. Don't just be sitting there and be cramming money and be looking. Do something for God. Do something. Do what? Something. For God. Do something for God. Praise the Lord. Are you here with me? Yes. Please be on your feet.
You are here this month and you want Jesus in your life. Somebody here need to give his life to Jesus. Something might change in your life. You need that Jesus. I want to pray with you. You want to say Jesus will become your Lord and Savior. Lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. You want to say, I need Jesus. If I die today, I cannot make it to heaven because my life is not right. Lift your right hand and I'll pray with you. In somebody's life, say, Father, I thank you that you died on the cross for me. Today, I ask you, come into my life. Become my Lord and Savior. From today, I will follow you and serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name.
My Jesus.
trust that you have been blessed by the word of God. We would love to have you worship with us at Conquest Global Ministries, Kakrade, or call us on 0243-287-958 or 0246-111-278. You are blessed.